What a great day. Hi, everybody. Nice to see you. Well, my wife and I are refugees from the evacuation area. I snuck back into my home and got my suit so I could come over here today. Otherwise, it was shorts and a t-shirt, so. It's been said, you know, what a wonderful blessing it is for us to be here today and to keep the Feast of Pentecost, just like they did thousands of years ago on that day. But let's go back to the very beginning. I like to go back to the very beginning of the Bible and kind of establish that most important idea in Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's the datum. God is the one who did this. And his spirit was hovering over the face of the water. We read that. So he's looking over the water. The earth is covered with water. And you can just imagine, maybe God is, he's got his plans, and he's going, okay, now I'm going to do what I want to do. I've got it all planned out. Now I'm going to go for it. And of course, he made something really beautiful and complex and amazing. So the creation work, the week, you know, culminated in the Sabbath, but it also culminated with the creation of mankind. And, you know, God put him into the beautiful Garden of Eden, trees, beautiful trees and fruit that you could eat. Just grab a fruit. All you had to do is just kind of take care of it and keep it. And in the very middle, we know in the middle of the garden, were two very important trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. We all know that. The tree of life, there was no restriction on the tree of life, but there was a restriction on the other tree. At that time, it's recorded, there was only one, recorded anyway, that there was only one law given by God, and that is this law. In Genesis 2:16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. So that includes the tree of life, right? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall die. You shall surely die. So Moses records in Deuteronomy, to all the trees, every one of them God could eat, we could eat, but except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Moses records that, you know, therefore, the tree of life, people can enjoy that if they wanted to. Well, but instead they chose the other tree, and then they knew that they were naked and they were afraid and they were hiding from God and they were ashamed. And in chapter 3, verse 11, God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you not eat? So let's just stop here for a second. You think the God who created the universe, recreated the earth, did all these things, didn't know what Adam had done? You can just have a natural assumption that he did know exactly what Adam had done. But what is he doing? Why is God asking Adam a question? Adam broke God's one law. In other words, he sinned. But why ask Adam the question? And what response in that pregnant moment was God hoping for? Certainly not the one that Adam gave him. In chapter 3, verse 12, then the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave it to me, and I ate it. You know, he didn't lie, right? He didn't lie. No, he acknowledged that he ate it. Instead, he blames God. you gave me a woman, and she gave it to me. So he blames God, and then he throws her under the bus. Buses hadn't been invented yet, but he throws her under him. And, you know, frankly, that's how we have been ever since. We blamed everybody else for our sins, pointing to other directions, and that's just the way the world is. And, you know, what has happened because of that? Because of the sin that Adam did and started this downward spiral. Mr. O'Malley back here gave a really nice sermon about that, about what happened now all through time because of this. So we had one law. Adam broke the law. He blew it. And all of us have blown it this whole time. So what happened? So Cain murders Abel right away. So what could go wrong? Cain murders Abel. The world becomes so corrupted in a short period of time that God has to destroy it with a flood. And then the world again becomes so pagan and corrupted that God calls Abram out of pagan Mesopotamia. And if you've ever done any studying on what Mesopotamia was and where he came from, it was a wicked, terrible, terrible place. So Abram comes out. So, and then, you know, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and the Israelites enslaved in Egypt. Moses leads them out by the hand of God. The law is given at Mount Sinai, which some believe was this day. But instead of one law now, as Mr. Fish has mentioned, there became 613 laws instead of one. Now, because of this sin, all this pressure now. And then, you know, God's given the law, and Moses is up there fasting and praying to God. And what are the people doing down at the bottom? They made a golden calf. They immediately turned back to idolatry. We're going to do it our own way. How did that work out? Well, according to Exodus 32:28, 3,000 people died because of that event. Boom. Moses had to intervene. So remember that number, 3,000. The whole generation of those people died in the wilderness. Things were looking pretty good under Joshua. But then enters the time of the judges, Deborah, Samson, Gideon, the Midianites, idolatry, Baal, all these terrible things happen. And this is just God's people happening too. This is not the rest of the world. The rest of the world is, you know, crazy. It's bad enough. So then, you know, you have got Eli, the high priest, and his sons, and they were corrupt, you know, the leaders of the church, basically, corrupt, and then Samuel comes along, and then they want a king, Saul. How did that go? Not that great. David, then Solomon, and because of Solomon's sins, the civil war that broke the country apart, you know. And then the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity, Persian, Greek, eventually Roman domination. God sends his prophets. Please come back. Please love me and I will love you. And they kill him. They kill him. And into this world, that world of Roman domination and corruption, came Jesus, our Messiah. And frankly, he was treated the same way. So we're going to go back to the Garden of Eden real quick and then jump forward again 4,000 years to Jerusalem, to this time of occupation, where after the crucifixion, where 120 people, I don't know how many people are here today, 120 maybe, you know, about the same. Christians, people that knew, had known Jesus, they were intimately involved with that, and they loved Jesus and what he had taught, and they were here on the day of Pentecost, and all of a sudden, we know the story, about what happened. You know, the rushing mighty wind came in and the flames of fire on their heads. Can you imagine if that happened to us? Divided tongues of fire. And then we're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is in Acts 2. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So I don't know if that's actually translated right. There were people from all over the world that came there, the known world, like Parthians that came there. That's over in Iran or Persia. And other parts of the world gathering together on this day, like we came from Los Angeles or Orange County or, you know, the refugee camp. So they came to Jerusalem to worship. And that's what happened to them. And they were blown away by what happened. Can you imagine that, though? I mean, wind comes through the room and fire on our heads. And then I could speak to you in another language, but you'd understand me. And that's exactly what happened. So in verse 14, Peter stood up, the apostle Peter, along with the other 11 apostles, and he raised his voice. He was really serious about this situation here. He raised his voice to them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. In verse 21, and it will come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In verse 36, therefore let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, Jesus, God, the God of creation, our Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, in verse 37, they were cut to the heart. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever been cut to the heart? I have. You know, when I realized how bad something I did was wrong, and I finally realized it, They were cut to the heart. Of course, then they said, you know, because they were cut to the heart, they said, what shall we do? What can we do because of this? And, of course, Peter told them what to do. He said, this is what you have to do. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, just like we have. I added that part. I don't know if he said that or not. So then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So this time, God's people are accepting the Holy Spirit. They're accepting God at his word and receiving the Spirit. At Mount Sinai, they rejected it and got back into idolatry. 3,000 were killed by God then. 3,000 were saved at this time. So in the garden that day, back in the Garden of Eden, God's question to Adam, perhaps giving him a chance, was it perhaps giving him a chance for a different response? Because God wants all of us to repent. Peter said, repent, turn from your wicked ways and obey God. Do you think maybe God was, have you taken from the tree that I told you not to? What would God have done if Adam had said, yes, I'm really sorry, please forgive me? We won't know the answer to that, but we would maybe think maybe God would forgive, and it might have changed the whole world. From the very beginning, God has offered life. You know, but except for a few individuals, mankind has chosen death. But in my opinion, a greater miracle than wind, fire, language occurred that day almost 2,000 years ago. That miracle was repentant hearts, repentant enough to recognize that what they'd done and to ask, what shall we do? And this is what God hopes for all of us. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And that's the whole world and everybody that's ever lived, God wants to have be with him.